Section 11, Firefighting Essentials. The following pages in this section are excerpts from the fourth edition of IFSTA Firefighting Essentials, used by permission. Unity of Command. Unity of command is the principle that a person can report to only one supervisor. Directly, each subordinate reports to one boss. However, indirectly, everyone reports to the fire chief through the chain of command. The chain of command is the pathway of responsibility from the highest level of the department to the lowest. Span of control. Span of control is the number of personnel one individual can effectively manage. A rule of thumb in the fire service is that an officer can directly supervise 3 to 7 firefighters effectively, but the actual number varies within the situation. Division of labor. Division of labor is dividing large jobs into small jobs. These small jobs are then assigned to specific individuals. Division of labor is necessary in the fire service for the following reasons: to assign responsibility, to prevent duplication of effort, to make specific and clear-cut assignments. Discipline. Traditionally, discipline, as applied to organizations, has been understood to mean a well-organized, adequately structured, uniform operation. However, in this instance, discipline refers to an organization's responsibility to provide the direction needed to satisfy the goals and objectives it has identified. In other words, discipline is setting the limits or boundaries for expected performance and enforcing them. This direction may come in the form of rules, regulations, or policies, but regardless of the term used, it must define how the department plans to operate. The rules of the organization must be clearly written and presented. Policies and procedures. It's important to understand the difference between policy and procedure. Policy is a guide to decision-making within an organization. Policy originates mostly with top management in the fire department and points to the kinds of decisions that must be made by fire officers or other management personnel in specified situations. A procedure is a kind of formal communication closely related to policy. Whereas policy is a guide to thinking or decision-making, a procedure is a detailed guide to action. A procedure describes in writing the steps to be followed in carrying out organizational policy for some specific, recurring problem or situation. Firefighter safety. Firefighting is one of the world's most dangerous jobs, and accidents in the profession can result in costly losses, the greatest loss being the death of a firefighter. Other losses may include lost manpower due to injuries, damaged equipment, which is expensive to repair or replace, and legal expenses. In order to prevent these losses, it's necessary to prevent the accidents that cause them. Reducing accidents will save lives and money. Two basic factors motivate accident control efforts within the firefighting profession: life safety and economy. The life safety factor, while interrelated with economics, stems from the natural desire to prevent needless suffering from physical pain or emotional stress. The economic factor includes legal expenses and expenses caused by the loss of manpower, apparatus, equipment, tools, property, or systems. Firefighters have traditionally accepted injuries and related losses as part of their vocation. Knowing their job to be one of the most hazardous, many firefighters are resigned to occupational accidents, injuries, and fatalities. This is compounded by the stereotypical image of the firefighter as heroic and fearless in the face of danger. Most firefighter injuries, however, are a direct result of preventable accidents. The firefighter should be too smart and too professional to take unnecessary risks. Safety standards for the fire service. NFPA 1500, Standard on Fire Department Occupational Safety and Health Program, contains the minimum requirements and procedures for safety and health program. The standard may be applied to a fire department or similar organization, public or private. It calls upon the fire department to recognize safety and health as official objectives of the department and to provide as safe and healthy a work environment as possible. The basic concept of NFPA 1500 is to apply the same degree of safety throughout the fire service, regardless of individual status or type or organization. Because it's a minimum standard, none of the objectives are intended to restrict a department or jurisdiction from exceeding the requirements specified. Employee interest. The success of a safety program will begin at the top of the fire department administration chain. The administration's attitude toward safety is invariably reflected in the attitude of the supervising officers, which in turn affects firefighters. The main goals of any good safety program should be as follows: prevent human suffering, deaths, injuries, illnesses, and exposures to hazardous atmospheres and contagious diseases. Prevent damage, loss of equipment. Reduces the incidence and severity of accidents and hazardous exposures. An effective safety program becomes a matter of developing, promoting, and practicing an ongoing attitude of involvement throughout the organizations. Safety requires effort on the part of everyone. If one person does not participate or abide by the rules of the program, chances are that others will follow this bad example. Because of their leadership role, officers must provide a good example and must follow all safety rules. It's not enough to teach safety practices. They must be practiced and enforced. Breaking bad habits will not be easy for some, and once the new procedures are established, everyone must maintain them. If not, people will revert back to the old procedures. Flashover. Flashover is the transition between the growth and the fully developed fire stages, and is not a specific event such as ignition. During flashover, conditions in the compartment change very rapidly as the fire changes from one that is dominated by the burning of the materials first ignited to one that involves all of the exposed combustible surfaces within the compartment. The hot gas layer that develops at the ceiling level during the growth stage causes radiant heating of combustible materials remote from the origin of the fire. Typically, radiant energy, heat flux, from the hot gas layer exceeds 20 kilowatt meters squared when flashover occurs. This radiant heating causes pyrolysis in the combustible materials in the compartment. The gases generated during this time are heated to their ignition temperature by the radiant energy from the gas layer at the ceiling. While scientists define flashover in many ways, most base their definition on the temperature in a compartment that results in the simultaneous ignition of all of the combustible contents in the space. While no exact temperature is associated with this occurrence, a range from approximately 900 degrees Fahrenheit to 1200 degrees Fahrenheit is widely used. This range correlates with the ignition temperature of carbon monoxide, CO. 1,128 degrees Fahrenheit, one of the most common gases given off from pyrolysis. Just prior to flashover, several things are happening within the burning compartment. The temperatures are rapidly increasing. Additional fuel packages are becoming involved, and the fuel packages in the compartment are giving off combustible gases as a result of pyrolysis. As flashover occurs, the combustible materials in the compartment and the gases given off from pyrolysis ignite. The result is full room involvement. The heat release from a fully developed room at flashover can be on the order of 10,000 kilowatts or more. Occupants who have not escaped from a compartment before flashover occurs are not likely to survive. Firefighters who find themselves in a compartment at flashover are at extreme risk, even while wearing their personal protective equipment. Backdraft. Firefighters operating at fires in buildings must use care when opening a building to gain entry or to provide horizontal ventilation, opening doors or windows. As the fire grows in a compartment, large volumes of hot unburned fire gases can collect in unventilated spaces. These gases may be at or above their ignition temperature, but have insufficient oxygen available to actually ignite. Any action during firefighting operations that allows air to mix with these hot gases can result in an explosive ignition called backdraft. Many firefighters have been killed or injured as a result of backdrafts. The potential of backdraft can be reduced with proper vertical ventilation, opening at the highest point, because the unburned gases rise. Opening the building or space at the highest possible point allows them to escape before entry is made. The following conditions may indicate the potential for a backdraft: pressurized smoke exiting small openings, black smoke becoming dense, gray-yellow, confinement and excessive heat, little or no visible flame, smoke leaving the building in puffs or at intervals, appearance of breathing, smoke-stained windows. Products of combustion. As fuel burns, the chemical composition of the material changes. This change results in the production of new substances and the generation of energy. As a fuel is burned, some of it is actually consumed. The law of conservation of mass tells us that any mass lost converts to energy. In the case of fire, this energy is in the form of light and heat. Burning also results in the generations of airborne fire gases, particles, and liquids. These materials have been referred to throughout this chapter as products of combustion or smoke. The heat generated during a fire is one of the products of combustion. In addition to being responsible for the spread of a fire, heat also causes burns, dehydration, heat exhaustion, and injury to a person's respiratory tract. While the heat energy from a fire is a danger to anyone directly exposed to it, smoke causes most deaths in fires. The materials that make up smoke vary from fuel to fuel, but generally all smoke can be considered toxic. The smoke generated in a fire contains narcotic, asphyxiant gases, and irritants. Narcotic or asphyxiant gases are those products of combustion that cause central nervous system depression, which results in reduced awareness, intoxication, and can lead to the loss of consciousness and death. The most common narcotic gases found in smoke are carbon monoxide, CO, hydrogen cyanide, HCN, and carbon dioxide, CO2. The reduction in oxygen levels as a result of a fire in a compartment will also cause a narcotic effect in humans. Irritants in smoke are those substances that cause breathing discomfort, pulmonary irritants, and inflammation of the eyes, respiratory tract, and skin, sensory irritants. Depending on the fuels involved, smoke will contain numerous substances that can be considered irritants. The most common of the hazardous substances contained in smoke is carbon monoxide. While CO is not the most dangerous of the materials found in smoke, it's almost always present when combustion occurs. While someone may be killed or injured by breathing a variety of toxic substances in smoke, carbon monoxide is the only one that is most easily detected in the blood of fire victims and thus most often reported. Because the substances in smoke from compartment fires are deadly, either alone or in combination, firefighters must use SCBA for protection when operating in smoke. Flame is the visible, luminous body of a burning gas. When a burning gas is mixed with the proper amounts of oxygen, the flame becomes hotter and less luminous. The loss of luminosity is caused by a more complete combustion of the carbon. For these reasons, flame is considered to be a product of combustion. Of course, it's not present in those types of combustion that do not produce a flame, such as smoldering fires.